Dear friends of Hemel Hempstead, once again, we are out here. We come out from a local Bible-believing church here in Hemel Hempstead. The church is called Bethel Reformed Baptist Church, and we meet on the corner of Lower Road and Red Lion Lane. And I hope you take a little time today to hear about things of eternal, everlasting significance. Friends, we're here just for a little while in this life. We are bodies, of course, but ultimately we have a soul. We are made in the image of God. And God has given man, every man, every boy, every girl, every woman, an immortal soul. The proof that you have a soul is your conscience, knowing right from wrong. I wish to address our consciences here today. You know, we have the conscience, and we know that when we do wrong things, conscience accuses us, or the Bible says, or else excuses us. You tell a lie, you feel embarrassed, you feel ashamed, you can do many things in your life, of course, your past. Some of us don't like to talk about our past because it haunts us, it may embarrass us, makes us feel ashamed, and we tend to sweep things under the carpet. We sweep these things away. But you know, my dear friends, it does you no good and it does me no good to sweep things under the carpet. The Bible tells us that is it appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But also every secret thought of the hearts of men shall be revealed one day. And furthermore than that, not only will matters be revealed, but matters will be judged. So one may ask, if God is going to judge all sin, if God is going to judge all men, and that's what the Bible so clearly teaches. What hope is there for me? If I have sinned against God, if I have done wrong things in my life, what hope is there? Well, there is only hope, as the Bible makes very clear, for them who know the Lord Jesus and who are saved by Him in this life. Salvation is in no other than Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So how is Christ the way? How is Christ the way to God, and how is He the way to heaven? Well, first of all, let me say, He has come from heaven. He said it Himself. I am from above. He said to people in His day, I am from above, ye are from beneath. He was sent of God the Father. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus, who is from above, the Bible tells us that all things were made by Him and for Him. He is God the Son, who made the Son, who made the entire universe. He created all things. The Bible tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God took to Himself bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh. The Lord Jesus did not hide this fact. He said, I am in the Father as the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. This is why the Jews tried to kill Him. This is why the Jews took up stones, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to kill Him, because He said, before Abraham was, I am. He claimed pre-existence before Abraham. Think of it. He claimed an existence before Abraham. He created the world, the universe. All things, the Bible says, were made by Him. And this is so important that we have a proper understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses, well, they say the Lord Jesus is not God. But the Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. He came into this world. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, that God the Father says to the Son, O God, thy throne is forever. The Lord Jesus is very God, despite what many of these cults try to deny. Don't believe them. They have changed the Word of God. My dear friends, they used this King James Bible up until 1952. Did you know that? They used this Bible. But in order to accommodate their false teaching, they, as it were, changed it and come up with their own translation now. Jesus Christ is very God, begotten, the Bible says, not created. Now, this is so significant because only God can save sinners. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He came into this world, my friend. And he came under his own law. He says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. The Lord Jesus was born of a woman. That is, he did not have a natural father. After the Lord Jesus, we're told that Mary did not maintain a perpetual virginity. It says concerning Mary that she knew not Joseph until after the Christ was born. We're told this in Matthew chapter 1. The Lord Jesus indeed was born of a virgin, as was proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, if you know what that name Emmanuel means, it means this. It means God with us. And so that is who Christ is. God was manifest in the flesh. And so he came into this world. And yet he came as a man, having two natures in one, fully God and fully man. And then lived under that law. It was said of him that he would magnify the law and make it honorable. That is, by his life, he made it honorable. He fully obeyed it. Unlike you and I, you know, ever since our first parent, Adam, sinned, we have all sinned. The Bible says sin has spread to all. And you know, this is what the Bible says. And the wages of sin is death. We die because of original sin in Adam, but also our own sin. And we could say this, that sin, what does it do? You do something wrong, my friend. How do you feel about it? It gets you so down, doesn't it? Sin, it really does bring us down. It demoralizes you. It makes you less of a man. It makes you less of a person. It really humiliates us. That's what sin does. And the Bible tells us that at the end, the wages of sin is death. So it not only destroys our life and it makes us less noble, it ignobles us. But friends, it brings us down. And now we try to suppress this in our lives. We try to hide the fact that our past troubles us. And people sometimes go to the psychiatrist for help because they're trying to deal with all of these problems. And many psychiatrists today will tell you, well, friend, it's not your fault. Blame it on this, blame it on that, blame it on society, blame it on your mother, blame it on your father. You're not at fault. Well, that's a lie. But God's word tells us we are accountable for our sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with the consequence of sin, but he is able to deal with sin in the lives of his people. The Lord Jesus said, "And I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly." My text this afternoon is from Matthew at chapter 11, where the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friends, rest is in him. We're not speaking here about rest from work, because work is a good thing, but trouble of heart, burden over sin. "Come unto me, all you that labor." Maybe some are laboring to have righteousness before God. You're troubled in your heart, in your mind. How can I get to heaven? How can I be right with God? I'm a sinner. I feel my sin. Well, the Lord addresses such people. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Many people are not seeking rest in this world. They're seeking to find happiness in things. They're trying to find peace. But the world cannot give you peace of conscience. It cannot give you peace of mind. You know, we try to suppress the reality that we're going to die one day and that we're going to have to leave this life. It is proven that some of the most depressed people have been some of the most wealthy people in this world. John D. Rockefeller, one of the most wealthy men that ever lived, was a manic depressant. You see, money cannot bring peace of mind. It cannot bring contentment of the soul. And yet, the Bible says too, that the wicked are as the troubled sea that can have no rest. Have you ever seen the sea on a stormy day and it's casting up froth? Well, that is the heart of men. We cannot get pleasure, true lasting joy and pleasure from things and stuff we buy, friends. We might walk in a shop and purchase something, but soon it gets old to us and we have no more contentment. That thing cannot bring you peace. It cannot bring you assurance. And furthermore, you're going to die. You can't take it with you. You can't take your wealth, your money. Young people, you can't take your looks. You can't take your beauty. All of these things are fading. And life itself, as Solomon says, is, at the great end of it, vanity. He says, "What shall it profit a man after all his labor under the sun?" He says, "One generation rises up and another comes." And he says, "All is full of labor." The eye, he says, is never satisfied. The ear is never filled. The eye can never get enough. The ear, well, the heart, the ego, can never have enough praise. We want more and more. The soul has an insatiable appetite for things. Why? Because we have replaced things with God. Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Things in this life, friends, clothing, a house, these things are necessary, but they cannot give you peace. It's right and it's good to have a place where you can live, but what after that? What of your never dying soul? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke a parable of a wealthy farmer for 1 year, had a great abundance. Of course, it is God that gives us sun, rain, and all things to enjoy, but we neglect our God. And in that parable, he spoke of this wealthy farmer who said to his soul, he said, "Take ease, my soul. Thou hast many years," and a great abundance of crop was given him. And so he built bigger barns, stored up all that he had. And he said, "Take ease, my soul." And in that parable, the Lord said, "You fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Today God requires." And what will be of our soul, friend, if all we have lived for is the here and the now? What will there be? There's our sin. A great sin, really, is to ignore God and to pretend that he's not. He has made all things. I mean, you look at this beautiful world that he has made. The Bible tells us that man is without excuse because God has revealed himself by the things that he has made. His invisible attributes, his power, and his glory. I'm staring across there at the lovely fruit on the fruit market, and I see the abundance of fruit that we have. Somebody once asked me, even here in the open air, why did God make so many different kinds of fruit? Well, for you to enjoy. How bland life would be, how plain it would be if there was just one thing to enjoy. But God has made all these things. And my dear friends, God is glorious and wonderful. If you read the Word, the Bible, you will find many wonderful truths about wisdom for life. And happiness and joy is in the Lord. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And how good is God? Despite the sin of men, God sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into a sinful world to become a man, to live in a way that man has not lived, despite his sin, to come under the law, not to merely be an example, although Christ is, but as he said, to give his life as a ransom for many. That is, to buy many, to purchase them, to suffer in their place at Calvary. That's why he became a man. He became a man to live under God's law. That's what the Word of God says. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, and then to redeem them who are under the law, that is to purchase them. At Calvary, at the end of that glorious life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus would give his life, as he said, as a ransom for many. He said, "Even the Son of Man has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." To minister is to serve. And that's what he did. Think of it. God, the Creator, became the servant. The religions of this world, my friends, whatever they might be, in contrast to the truth of the Bible, are ridiculous. The religions of this world will tell you, you can save yourself. The religions of this world tell you that you are good enough to reach up to God. But friends, we're not. It had to be that God would come down in the fullness of time. And God would have to take the punishment of his people. This is why the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." Man will have no rest in himself. He'll have no rest in the things of this world that he cannot take with him. My friends, rest and peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he is styled in the Word of God as the Prince of Peace. God alone gives peace. Peace with God, first of all. You cannot have peace with God apart from himself. The Bible tells us that he reconciles sinners. Sinners don't reconcile themselves with God. I've often heard somebody or people say things like this: well, I'll make my peace with God. You can't. It is impossible. It is Christ that makes peace for and on behalf of sinners. Peace is through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Well, I urge you, friends, some of you are obviously going to take holiday this time of the year. We're the close now of July, and many people go on holiday and they go for some rest and peace. And I can understand that from a work point of view. But really, I'm talking here about real lasting peace of the soul. We can rest our bodies, and it's good to rest our bodies at night. But friends, the Bible speaks of an everlasting Sabbath, of an everlasting rest. And it is only to them who rest upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest is through Christ. Real peace and lasting joy is through him. What of your soul today? Have you peace with God? If you were to die, where would you go, friend? What is your hope of heaven? Can you have peace in your charitable works? Will they ever be enough? Could you ever pay for your wrongs? You know, the Bible doesn't speak of us paying off for our sins. This is a false teaching of the Catholic Church. They call it penance. And some of them even beat themselves, whip themselves. There are some religions that are given over to this. Self-beating, self-deprivation. No, that cannot atone for sin. No, it can't. And furthermore, what about being right with God? You see, to go to heaven requires perfect obedience. And none of us have rendered that to God. Only the Lord Jesus. And so there is the hope. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews of his day who came with a coin, and they said, "Shall we give to Caesar? Shall we pay our taxes?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In other words, pay your taxes, pay your dues. And then he said, "And render to God what is God's." And my friend, let me say as politely and as lovingly as I can, none of us have rendered to God what we ought to have. We have stolen from him. Every day of our life, we have lived for ourselves. We have not rendered to God what is God's. Only the Lord Jesus. And so therefore, my friend, there can be no rest in yourself, no rest in your works or my works, but only rest in the Lord Jesus. This is why he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, may God bless his word. It's starting to rain now, and I hope that you will take away this word that I have addressed you with. My friend here will be with me for a little while. I'll be glad to tell you about the church and the way of salvation if you'd like to know. And we'd like to invite you as I close to the church this coming Lord's Day Sunday. Our morning service is at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet on the corner of Lower Road and Red Line Lane in Nash Mills, not far from here. I'll be so glad to see you if you come along. And trust that we'll have some helpful conversations now. Please do come and speak to us and be glad to tell you more.